a new world to do away with grief. A world where science brings me to emptiness. Luna Bear, the Hillmen Boss, and Taters die. And the panic from the people will return to the people. Let's all unite!
Welcome back, folks, here in the Corporate Nation. We're talking to Michael Cremo today, the forbidden archaeologist. Now, Michael, I would like to spend this 20 or so minutes here on the method used, the dating, carbon dating methods and other methods that are used. A lot of people have come out and actually said that those dating methods are also, if you will, not accurate, or there's no way to know that they're accurate. And I wondered if you could actually go over the process that people go through in these dating processes to explain how that works, explain the notion. Well, I mean, for instance, bones. I would not, off the top of my head, think of bones lasting over a million years, but somehow they do, even when metals decay and that kind of thing. And then there's the notion of intrusive burial, which would be something where the bones are buried in a grave, necessarily, and that grave goes into the layers that you were talking about that happen to be, by modern methods, considered to be over a million years old. How is it that we can know specifically where these layers lie and how old they are? And which of them, I mean, is there any way to know these methods are actually concrete in their claims?
That's a very good point. You know, actually, in my book, Forbidden Archaeology, I have a whole text on these methods. But let's just get a couple of things straight. It is possible that the dating methods are all inaccurate. That is a possibility. But in my dealings with the scientific world, I have to have some kind of frame of reference, some framework for the discussion. And my basic methodology is to say to them, okay, according to methods you consider reliable, this geological formation is so and so many millions of years old. So how do you explain the presence within these layers of this human bone, human artifact, human footprint, to your theory of evolution, should be there? So they could say, well, all the dating methods are inaccurate, which means we don't know how old anything is, so we can't say anything about these questions, which would be fine with me. Or they would have through theory of evolution. I mean, I win, so. But as far as I'm concerned, like, the dating methods, I believe, are based on fairly sound scientific principles, like the rates of decay of various radioactive elements and things of that nature. A particular case could be wrong. Now, in the kinds of discoveries I'm dealing with, we're dealing either with human bones and or human effects, stone tools and weapons, things like that, or footprints. Now, the case of bone, there aren't any methods that will allow scientists to directly date bone older than a couple of 100,000 years. Say if scientists today find dinosaur bones, there's no way they can date dinosaur bones directly. The dinosaurs went extinct about 5 billion years ago. So there's no method to directly date bone that old. They have to date things according to the age of the layers of rock in which they're found, because they do instead allow them to date the age layers of rock. So something that often happens with human bones of the kind that I'm talking about, found in layers of rock millions of years old. There is a method you can directly date bone, a radio method, carbon 14. That's based on the idea that in a thing, there are two types of carbon, carbon 12 and carbon 14. Carbon 14 is radioactive, carbon 12 is not radioactive. Element is radioactive, that means it decays in other elements. So that means at the time of death, the carbon 14 in an organism, in a bone, starts to decay. And it decays at a certain rate, called a half-life. half-life means you've got a certain amount of carbon-14, then after 5,000 years, which is the half-life, carbon-14, then you've got half that amount. Then after 5,000 years, you've got half that. After another 5,000 years, half that. By the time you go 20 half-lives, 100,000 years roughly, there's no more left measure. That means the range of carbon-14 dating is 100,000 years. So, say like you find a human in layers of rock 4 million years old, and this has happened. If the bone has contaminated with even the least amount of modern carbon-14, which can through bacteria that are living in the bone, or from groundwater circling around the bone, and even though the bone is really 4 million years old, when they do a radar date on it, because it's contaminated with recent carbon, it's showing age 100,000 years or less. So those are the kinds of things that can happen, you know, when, you know, you're trying to apply these methods, say the carbon-14 method on bone. The bone may be millions of years old, but if it's contained with the amount of modern carbon-14, it'll show an age of 2,000 years. And so that's, I mean, mostly when we're talking about human bones of being million years old, you would have to date according to the layers of rock in which they are found. And you have to take into consideration the quality of contamination of the bone, recent carbon, and things like that. Is it the kind of thing that you're...
Well, I'm just curious, is it typical that bone would last and survive the time like that? I mean...
No, it's not typical. Bones will decay like other forms of organic matter unless there are some specific conserving bones. Basically, if anything organic is exposed to oxygen, it will decay. Bones will rot if they're not preserved from being exposed. That typically is an animal eye that's quickly covered up by zinc layer 7, like clay or something like that, that oxygen, and allow the bone to be preserved. And then comes the bone and into a fossilized bone from the oxidation or given the bones by the groundwater. So fossilization is actually kind of a rare event. Why a scientist can become famous for finding even a little pinky bone of some ape man.
Right.
Actually, if you go back, say, about 3 million years, even in terms of evolution, in terms of finding bones of alleged human ancestors like Australopithecus and so on, would go back a few million years, actually, the number of bones that have would fit comfortably on a billiard table. You know, so fossilization is actually a rare event.
Right. Now, as far as that goes, when you're talking about, say, well, let's take a typical rock, or, you know, these layers of material that we're talking about, a mistake to say that you can only really date as far as the radiological aspect of the decay. Is it correct to say that you can only actually date an organic material, an organic matter, as opposed to the full aspect of the entire sediment?
The sediments themselves contain radioactive elements that have longer half-lives. I mean, there are different radioactive isotopes of uranium and selenium and other metals, other elements that have very long half-lives. So it's possible to get the sediments, the mineral elements and sediments themselves in layers, different layers of rock. That way you get ages of layers of rock going hundreds of millions or even billions of years. Now, say for those who are committed to a very young age for the Earth, less than 10,000 years, they might be motivated to question the legitimacy of those dating methods and half-lives, things like that. and I think that's a legitimate thing to do. Medicine's mindset is, I think, the perfect right to question all of the dating methods, you know, their accuracy, or even their fundamental principles that underlie them. Because really, you know, we test the accuracy of dating when talking about millions and millions of years. We only live for less than 100 years. We can observe in our laboratories, you know, we can observe certain things, we can extrapolate from that, but how are you really going to test it? You know, we don't live for hundreds of millions or billions of years to see what ultimately is true, you might say. So, you know, some people talk about faith. Well, scientists have faith that the rates of decay remain the same.
Yeah, exactly.
After billions and billions of years. But as I was saying in the beginning, my basic methodology is to say to scientists, according to methods that you consider reliable, you know, the age of this formation is so and so many millions or billions of years. So how do you explain the presence of this human bone or human artifact or human footprint in those layers of rock, which according to methods that you consider reliable, so many million years old?
That's a good point. This is a quote from someone in the chat room, Dr. Mary Weitzer, who said, essentially, for the last 15 years, the discoveries of tissue and bone or bones include blood cells, and proteins like collagen, but under measured rates of decomposition, they accounted for the presumed 65 million years since the dino extinction, even if they had been up at a freezing point temperature. What would you say to comments like that?
Those are very interesting reports, and what they could mean might be or that somehow or other those materials were preserved in an oxygen-free situation where they did decay for those millions of years. Now that's, either way, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
That somehow or other those organic materials were preserved, or you've got evidence for a recent survival of dinosaurs.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the other examples that you've actually studied. One of those I know is all of a sudden you had the gold rush out in California, and suddenly people were digging down into this old sediment, old rock, and finding artifacts, bones, etc. So that was a part of your
actually one of the cases that I really find fascinating, the California gold mine discoveries. And what I look for in my research is cases where you've got documented evidence, human artifacts going back millions of years, and then also good documentation of the knowledge filtering process by which this evidence has been suppressed. And in the case of the California gold mine discoveries, you've got both things: evidence for extreme human antiquity and evidence for how the knowledge filtering process operated. Basically, what happened is in the mid to late 19th century, gold was discovered in California. Miners there from around the world to get the gold, they were digging tunnels to some mountains like Table Mountain, the Sierra Nevada Mountains, near Sonora. And inside the tunnels, the miners were finding human bones and human artifacts. They were finding spear points, stone mortars and pestles, all kinds of things. And these discoveries came to the attention of Dr. J. E. Whitney, who was the chief government geologist of California. And he visited the sites, verified the discoveries, wrote a massive scientific report about them that was published by Harvard University's Museum of Comparability in the year 1880. And what makes these discoveries so interesting to me is that the human bones and the human artifacts were found layers of rock that modern geologists tell us are about 50 million years old, belongs to the early part of the geological period called the Eocene. So we don't hear very much about these discoveries today because of the process of knowledge filtration. There was a scientist named William Holmes. He was an anthropologist working at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington. About Dr. Whitney's report, he said, if Dr. Whitney had understood the theory of human evolution, he wouldn't publish that report. He wouldn't come to those conclusions, despite the imposing array of testimony with which he was confronted. And I'll translate that scientific jargon. Basically, Holmes was saying, if the facts don't fit the theory of evolution, the facts should be forgotten. They shouldn't be published like Dr. Whitney published them. So basically, that's what happened. The discoveries of Dr. Whitney were forgotten. They were suppressed. However, some of the artifacts from California gold mines are still in the collection of the Museum of Anthropology at the University of California at Berkeley. And I've been there, I've seen them, I've photographed them, and I've given reports about these things at a meeting of the World Archaeological Congress. So the artifacts are there, and the gold mines, some of the 19th century gold mine tunnels are still there. I've been to the mountains of the Sierra Nevadas and relocated some of these 19th century gold mining tunnels where these objects were originally discovered. So these aren't inventions. These are scientifically reported discoveries, reported by a Harvard-educated geologist, Dr. J.D. Whitney, and I think it's really fortunate that this evidence isn't subjected to this knowledge filtering process. If this just happened once or twice, well, maybe you could overlook it or explain it away. But as I've shown in my book, Forbidden Archaeology, this hasn't happened just in one or two cases. It's happened in hundreds of cases, and it's still going on today, as I was explaining a little bit earlier in the show.
Absolutely. What are some of the other sort of random things that have turned up? I mean, gold, you wouldn't think of gold mines off the top of your head, but are there been any other accidental finds like that?
Well, even a lot of the discoveries that are used to support the current theory were, in a sense, accidental discoveries. Heidelberg jawbone, for example, which is in all the textbooks today, was a discovery by a miner. Scientists were called in. But this often does happen. Sometimes a discovery is made by scientists who go out to conduct an excavation, and in other cases, discoveries are made by miners or other persons who are digging into the earth, and scientists are called in later. So things like that do happen, whether we're talking about the accepted evidence that supports current theories or we're talking about the anomalous evidence, the kind that I've documented in my book, Forbidden Archaeology.
One of the folks emailing me said, asked the question, that, have you ever come across or been able to verify the notion of giants? There's a lot of reports of, which I'm skeptical of, 25-foot skeletons and things found. But so far the evidence, I've seen pictures, but I've never actually seen any real evidence. I'm just wondering if you've ever come across like that.
You know, my personal belief is that giants did exist in the past. The Bible talks about Goliath. The Vedas say that before the current age, living things, including humans, were bigger than they are today. And there are a lot of reports of giant-sized human bones having been found. Up to this moment, I haven't been able to verify any of these cases myself. One of the most convincing scientific cases that I've turned up in my research were some discoveries that were made in a place called Castelnau, C-A-S-T-E-L-N-A-U, in France, late in the 19th century. There was an anthropologist, a Dr. Lapouche, L-A-P-O-U-G-U-E, I believe, a Dr. Lapouche, who reported in the primary scientific literature, in other words, he published in a peer-reviewed scientific journal, an account and photographs of these human bones. Now, it wasn't a complete skeleton. They were, among the bones was a femur or a thigh bone, and another one was a humerus, which is the upper arm bone that goes between the shoulder and the elbow. Now, if you've got a femur, you can measure it, and you can tell how tall the human being would have been that had a femur or a thigh bone of that length. And it turned out, according to Lapouche, that the human that had this thigh bone would have been over 11 feet tall. Now, he published pictures of the thigh bones and the humerus and an account of the discovery, and he mentioned the museum where the bones were. So I think that would be one of the better documented cases that I think really deserves some further attention. Somebody should track down those bones, and in that case, we would really have them. Now, there are lots of reports of bones having been discovered and placed in the Smithsonian and then lost and, you know, that sort of thing. So I think it would be good to verify at least one of these cases. Now, of course, on the web, you see all kinds of photographs of things that have obviously been photoshopped.
Yeah. Tell you what, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
This is a public announcement. Be ready to copy down a website address at the end of this message. Here's your chance to own land in our great nation for as little as $350 down and $99 a month. At the end of a year, you own it. This is your chance to own a piece of New Mexico in the foothills of a beautiful mountain range that's a national park. Yet a short drive to town, a perfect place to camp or own as an emergency retreat for your family for generations. $350 down, $99 a month. Go to landho.tv now. Similar sized parcels in the same development have sold for up to $15,000, some even more. Folks, we bought this land right and can pass the savings on to you. Purchase online via PayPal at landho.tv. Other listeners have already visited and purchased from our website, so we know there's a keen interest. Don't let this be a missed opportunity for you. Land that's yours in less than a year for an incredible $350 down and $99 a month. Inventory is getting seriously scarce, so visit our website today. Land in sunny New Mexico for $350 down and $99 a month. Landho.tv. LANDHO.TV.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteer into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, strategy one, to be free from the IRS. Escapeharassment.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Come to Fincabayano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugoutpanama.com.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart. Blacksmith and the artist reflected in their art. They forge their creativity closer to the heart.
All righty, folks. We are back. mcremo.com, human.com. Folks, if you'd like to call in today, well, let's see if I can remember the number without looking. 1-800-313-94. I did. 1-800-313-9443. I'm curious. I got to tell you, Michael. I mean, I saw this bunch of photos of Stonehenge recently, where in 1901 they started basically rebuilding this thing, and I was shocked to see these pictures and how they placed the stones and they put foundations of cement under them in the 1900s, and then they really never told anybody. And that really got me to start questioning a lot of the history that is presented to us. I wondered, have you ever done any research into the... There seems to be a mystery in the thumb. Have you ever done the Orinids? Any of those people claim that they're years old?
Right. It's a topic of interest to me. Yeah, this whole alternative history is a big one. So there's got to be some kind of division of labor. I'm dealing with what I call extreme human antiquity.
Right.
Evidence for humans existing much further back in time than most scientists are now prepared to accept. That's what my basic contribution is to the alternative history field. There are other researchers who are focusing on the more recent aspects of humanity. You know, for example, the origin of civilization. The standard idea is that civilization began less than 10,000 years ago. You know, they would say around that time, the very first villages start forming, and then gradually cities and city-states and nations after that. So there are some researchers who are focusing on that end of the time and the spectrum, the more recent end of the time spectrum, such things as the origin of civilization, showing that it went back more than 10,000 years or so. So, as I said, my own particular focus of research has been archaeological evidence for extreme human antiquity, evidence showing that humans like us existed millions of years ago, or as I said in the beginning, if somebody doesn't accept those long time spans, at least the idea that humans have been around since the beginning, whenever you think the beginning was. So that's what I focused on. I'm aware of their research and such things. I find it all fascinating, but my knowledge of it would be just that other interested person. It's not my field of research. There are researchers like Robert Bovall and Robert Schock and John Anthony West and Graham Hancock who have spent a lot of time on Egyptian civilization, giving alternative ideas about what the pyramids were, when they were built, how they were built, things of that sort. It's something I'm aware of, but it's not the specific focus of my research.
Let's go to the phones. Let's take Richard. Richard from Washington. Welcome, Richard.
Yeah, anything we can do to get Michael back on a regular basis, tell me what we need to do. Quick question, where do you stand on the expanding Earth perspective of the fact that we had giants before because there was less gravity, but the Earth expanding with intake solar radiation, and that's separated the continents, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, let me add to that, because I was aware I developed this idea, but I thought, well, what if gravity changed, these extinction events, what if gravity changed, and that's why the dinosaurs or the giants could no longer really function in a lower or higher gravity, whatever it would be?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't deeply looked into those things. I know some researchers are looking into them, and I'd encourage them. Just in general, I think that actually the conditions on Earth have changed, I think, physically over the vast periods of time. But I think including things such as the size of organisms and how long they lived, I mean, according to the Bible, for example, and Vedas, in previous ages, people lived for longer than they do today. Lifespans of 1,000 years or more were not uncommon, apparently, according to these ancient texts. But as far as I'm going to have to say about the specific question the caller asked about expanding Earth, I haven't really looked deeply into that myself. I'm aware of the idea of it, but I haven't come to any conclusions about it, either for or against.
And on the information you just brought up, and I was going to bring this up on another show, but never got in, the people of the Earth used to run on a monthly cycle, a lunar cycle, and possibly the people that lived 1,000 years were 1,000 month years and not 1,000 year years, and that would jive perfectly, would give us a lifespan of approximately 80 to 100 years like we've always had. So that's a consideration that I would like to bring out. But my real question is, have you read the works of Jared Diamond?
Jared Diamond, I've heard of. He's a mainstream scientist, I believe. Some of his works, but not recently. What were you thinking about?
He wrote a book, Guns, Germs, and Steel, which gave us a perspective of why the human condition kind of changes based on exactly technology and disease patterns, et cetera, et cetera. But the one I was interested in was the fact that all the big animals, such as the dinosaur or any large herbivore, disappear as soon as Homo sapien comes onto the continent. And I believe it's because we're hunters. We just overhunt our territories, and every time we expand onto another continent, we seem to take out all the big animals.
It appears to be still going on.
Well, that's it. And we seem to hunt ourselves, too. All the other Homo species seem to have disappeared because of the Homo sapien, because we had tool abilities and web abilities. We started destroying our other cohabitants of the Earth.
That's a good question, actually, is to ask you about the other, you know, the Neanderthal and all the other different Homo this and Homo that.
Well, you know, I have a chapter in my book, Forbidden Archaeology, called Evidence for Living Ape Men. So it appears there is some evidence for recent survivals of these types of creatures, and it kind of takes you into the realm of Bigfoot and Sasquatch and Yeti and reports of things like that. And, you know, there are different categories of evidence. Some of it's in, you know, the tabloid sort of nature, and some of it's scientifically reported. And in my book, Forbidden Archaeology, I reviewed some of the scientifically reported evidence for the continuing existence of ape men. There was an English anthropologist, Myra Shackley, who wrote a report on the evidence for existing Neanderthals. You know, so there are some scientists who have conducted some very good research into the possible continuing existence of these creatures.
And would you say the estimation that we're over-hunting is a pretty accurate description?
Yes. I mean, obviously, there was a huge uproar about an American dentist who shot a lion in Africa recently. I mean, people are concerned about these things. You know, some of these large animals are being hunted to extinction. So it's going on now. I wouldn't have any problem assuming that it happened in the past.
Would you reckon to say that we might be at the end of another cycle, considering the technology and the population explosion and all of that? Would you say that we might be at an extinction level type of event just because of our own craziness?
Well, I think we have to consider things like that. This goes back again to the Vedas. You know, there's the idea of cyclical time, that time goes in cycles, just like in the course of a year, we go through spring, summer, fall, winter, and then the cycle goes on again and again. So according to the Vedas, time does go in vast cycles, and there are periodic catastrophes that occur. And we're now, according to the Vedic cosmological calendar, in a time of increasing environmental and social disturbance, which I think we see all around us. So.
Anything else, Richard?
Yeah, one last question was, have you read Genesis of the Cosmos by Paul Lavalette?
I've sometimes spoken at conferences with Paul Lavalette, not recently, but so I've heard some of his talks, but what specifically are you referring to?
Well,
I haven't read that particular book.
Yeah, he thinks the whole thing is a cyclical vibrational pattern that creates the possibility of life forms being formed, and this happens continuously throughout the universe as we know it, based on our understanding of quantum physics, et cetera, et cetera. And that would kind of put your cycles into perspective, in fact, that occasionally, you know, we just happen to hit the jackpot and everything comes online, and then, you know, we kind of dirty our own living conditions and it goes offline, but eventually it comes back online.
Is that similar to the Schumann residence?
Yeah, and I think a lot of this could be a fractal in nature, as you've been talking about. You know, it seems like there's a coincidence of math understanding and vibrational understanding, music understanding, et cetera, that had to be, you know, kind of a created situation, or it's been with us for the whole time, whatever. So there seems to be a theoretical model that all this could fit into a nice understanding.
Yeah, well, I think our individual consciousness plays a role also. You know, if you take the sum total of the kind of consciousness of all the individuals on the planet, that's going to create a certain overall atmosphere. And I would say at the present moment, the sum total of the kind or level of consciousness that the individuals on this planet are currently manifesting isn't very healthy.
Yeah,
That fits in with Lynn McTaggart, who wrote the book called The Field, and she's kind of really talked about the intent, and been a very big understanding is that our consciousness actually shapes the physical environment that we've created here on our small planet.
Yeah, I'm a supporter of that kind of idea.
All right, thank you so much, Richard. Looks like we got one more call on the line. Mike from Kansas. Welcome, Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, do we have you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Greetings.
Hey, before I jump off here and just go.
To you.
The supposed caves down in the Grand Canyon.
Oh, you know, there was a report in a newspaper of Arizona in the 1920s. I think this is what you're referring to. Maybe it's
not.
It
is, yeah. Maybe 1912.
Yeah, early in the 20th century, where the newspaper report said some researchers were going through the Grand Canyon, and they were exploring, and they came upon some caves. And then they went into the caves and found a huge object of other plants. And I report. And I, mother, some years ago, down in the records, and you know they were saying they didn't have any record of them. This is something that happens a lot. And you find a very interesting report. I think there have been some people in recent years who claim to have had access to those caves, but again, it's very difficult to verify.
Right, yeah, has to be official. We'll be back, folks.
News from, but there's only one, Pure Effect Ultra. It features advanced anti-radiation technology and is constantly rated 5 stars as the number one system for reduction of fluoride, drug and chemtrail residues, heavy metals, and more. It raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and provides virtually instant clean water on demand, all while using no electricity. Want to learn more? Visit PureEffectFilters.com. That's PureEffectFilters.com.
Extend your life with
Extendivite really works. Here's what people are saying.
Oh, I had a weak breathing. When I stopped to do some walking, I had a problem. I had a heart attack. My second one, I take this pill, and I feel great.
I had 3 bypass 10 years ago, and I was in bed all 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started doing this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no reason it went down as fast. He could not know what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
Get your Extendivite. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 jet rig. Is that Vulcan?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's $25 plus shipping and handling, and you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Science is still battling to understand what the unappealing object is all about. That's about. That's about what the object is all about.
Information in a
fork
energy streams in.
All right, folks, welcome back. I'll tell you what, we got one more call on the line. Michael, before we get to that, why don't you tell people your websites and where they can actually get your tomes of research, very large books, very interesting stuff.
Yeah, well, my main personal website is mcremo.com, mcremo.com. And I also have websites for my individual books, like forbiddenarchaeology.com, humandevolution.com, myscience.myreligion.com. I also have a Facebook page, public figure page, Michael Cremo, it's really me. On Twitter as well. People can follow me on Twitter. I have a regular column in Atlantis Rising magazine. It's called The Forbidden Archaeologist, and I've also collected those columns in a book. It's called Forbidden Archaeologist. It's 50 of those columns. Really a good introduction to my work for people who aren't familiar with it. But on my personal webpage, mcremo.com, people can see a schedule of my upcoming interviews and lectures. I also have a travel diary on there. So that I think would be the first stop for most people, mcremo.com, mcremo.com.
Very nice. Let's take one last thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. The audience certainly appreciates it. Mike in I think that's South Carolina. Welcome, Mike. Just got a couple minutes.
Hey, Clint. Thanks, Clint, for all you do. And, Michael, you're very, very interesting. The last caller prompted me to call. He mentioned something about a cave in the northeastern part of the Grand Canyon on the Navajo Indian Reservation called Wingate. There's also another name for them called the Secret City. It did happen. A lot of things, artifacts were removed from those caves and sent to the Smithsonian, and all of a sudden they just all disappeared. How long have they've been covered up? I have a question for you, Michael, and that is, are you aware of the nuclear wars that were fought about 15,000 years ago, and the one prior to that was 5,000 years ago? They produced some interesting desert glass configurations. I think one's in the Mojave, one's in Asia, one's in the Middle East. Are you aware of these nuclear wars or blasts that happened back in those days?
Yeah, I am aware of those reports. In the Vedas, in the Vedic literature, there are accounts of weapons called Brahmastras. And if you study the descriptions of the effects of these weapons, it's stated they're like if you had thousands of suns all gathered together in one place. In other words, a tremendous amount of heat and light and energy. So there are accounts like that, and actually the American program during World War II to develop the atomic bomb was himself aware of these accounts from the ancient Sanskrit writings. And when the first atomic bomb was set off, the test one at Alamogordo in New Mexico in 1945, he was in the bunker. And when the atomic bomb was set off, at Alamogordo, he began quoting passages from the ancient Sanskrit writings, and he was asked by a newspaper reporter, what was it like to be present at the first atomic bomb explosion, and he said, the first in modern times.
Yeah. By the way, your 8, 9, 10 foot people are also being found in Ukraine and Russia.
Sorry, guys, we got to go. Thanks so much, Michael. Thanks, callers. We'll see you tomorrow.